Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
We do it every year. We call it the bye week blitz. When football's off, let's hit on the other sports. We got two of them this year, so we're splitting it up. But there has been so much anticipation for men's basketball this year at Mississippi State. I had to start with our friend Coach Chris Jans joining us this morning live from his office here at Apparel. You got a lot of nets back there. That's a lot of big wins, I assume.
Yeah, they're from different places and moments and games from the past, and something we started years ago. And when we got here, didn't know where we were going to put them, but my wife did all the decorating, and that's where they found a home.
There you go. I was thinking about year three, you know, maybe a decade ago. When you hired a new coach and you go into year three with him, at that point you start saying, okay, now we have real expectations of him because the roster should mostly be his players, and he's recruited three full classes. It's a different day and age, right, in terms of roster construction and all that. But does year three theory still apply here, that this is where the expectations levels for you have to jump up a little bit?
I've never thought about it that way. I've never looked at it that way. You know, the expectations for us were year one. I mean, that's what we talked about when we got the job, when I did interviews, when I sat at the podium being introduced to the local media and the fans for our press conferences, that, you know, we're trying to win in year one. Yeah, I don't want to talk about, you know, having a 3 or 4 year plan. And fortunately, you know, it's worked out in terms of, you know, some success in making the NCAA tournament, which is always the ultimate goal. So I would say that in year three, because of what we've done thus far, and we've talked to our team already about it multiple times, that's the baseline now. You know, that's not enough. That's we've got to win multiple games in the NCAA tournament and go on runs. And that's always been the goal. But, you know, just making the tournament certainly is everyone's goal or one of their goals each and every season. And it definitely is one of ours, but that's just the baseline. And so I think you could probably argue, you know, what you said, that, you know, year three expectations maybe are a little higher for any coach in year three of his start of his tenure at a particular school. But in the day and age that we're living now, certainly it's different for each sport depending on, you know, what they inherit. But for us, we felt really good about, you know, what we inherited and what we added to it and had a chance. So we get that the expectations are higher. You know, we welcome that. And any pressure that, you know, would be given to us, it's not going to be more than, you know, what we'll have internal.
Your first 2 years at Mississippi State, you've played this stifling defensive style. That's something you've done your whole career. I don't think enough people realize that some of your New Mexico State teams love to fill it up from deep. You coached a couple of teams there that were top 40 nationally shooting the three ball. Do you think this team at Mississippi State looks a little bit more like those teams did?
Yeah, that's a pretty good take. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Some people around here think that, you know, we're stuck in.
I do my research.
A different era, the way we lack in our makers. You know, everyone always talks about, you know, you find some shooters, coach. Yes, I heard that a lot after my first year. You know, you find some shooters, coach. And I'm like, I can find shooters on every corner. But finding makers is a whole nother conversation. And so we've been searching for makers, not for shooters. And we think we found some. You know, we think we've improved dramatically in our ability to stretch the defense and space the floor and take some pressure off Josh Hubbard with the additions that we've made to our roster. And it's one thing to do it in practice when, you know, nobody's watching. It'll be another to do it under the lights with a different jersey on than some of these guys, particularly their portal kids, have done. But yeah, we used to be a team that were known for how many threes we would take, you know, the percentage of attempts that we take from three. And I think we're going to have a team that is going to be a lot different looking than we've had, since we've arrived, in terms of, just the fives and the girth and the strength and the philosophy. Is throwing the ball inside, as many times as we could. Not that we're not going to do some of that, but I think we'll be more of an outside in, team than we have since we've arrived.
When I look at the guys you brought in from the portal and the way your roster looks, I know the term positionless basketball kind of gets thrown around, and I don't know that everybody knows what that term really means, but it feels like you're maybe a little guard heavy. We'll put it like that, just from me looking at your roster. Does this team have, can you construct it a traditional 1 through 5, or are you going to play a little bit more, and I'll use the quotation fingers here, positionless this season?
I love having a team where you can play big ball, traditional ball, and small ball, and meaning it really has to do with your threes and fours, to be honest with you. Do you got a four that can play a five? Do you got a five that can play a four? Do you got a three that can play a four? If you want to play all those styles, it really boils down to that. You always have enough ones and twos, usually to fill those spots. But when you get into those, can you play a small ball lineup with, a Cameron Matthews at the five? Can you play a big ball lineup with a Cameron Matthews at the three and a Keyshawn Murphy at the four, and then one of these newer fives at the five? So I truly believe that we're going to have a lot of flexibility with the type of lineups that we're going to have as options to be able to throw out there, depending on, if we want to control some tempo or get the other team to have to decide to, maybe sub and match up with us, or the other way around. If we play a team that is traditionally playing a certain type of lineup, can we match that to give us a best chance to defend them or play offense against their defense or whatever the scenario is? So right now, but it sounds good in theory. It's easy to do when you're in practice and there's nothing on the line. Hopefully it'll keep getting better, and we'll figure our team out over the next few weeks before we get into the game portion. But right now we feel really good about the options that we have in terms of our lineups.
I don't know, growing up here in the South, I'm used to seeing Alabama at number one or number two, but that's usually in football. And now I'm seeing it in basketball. And of course, the Auburn is going to be really good this year. The conference just looks really, really tough from top to bottom. Is this the toughest it's been, in your opinion, since you got here?
Yeah, I would imagine if you forecast it, it's got to be. Obviously, you got the two new additions with Oklahoma and Texas, and you mentioned some teams that are bordering us that are on paper going to be projected to be number one, number two, like you said, and then top 10. And in the SEC and nationally, it's just gotten more respect year in and year out, and they've improved dramatically over the last, 5, 7 years in terms of, number of bids and just the quality of teams that are in the league each and every year. So it's exciting. I love it. I mean, I love being in this league. I love being in a league that has so many good programs, because at the end of the day, talking about March Madness, you want the opportunities. You want the opportunities to play as many quad one and quad two games as you can. I don't look at it as, oh man, this is going to be hard. Like, I look at it as what a great opportunity each and every night to play quality teams. And every game means something, to these fan bases, to the national folks, and we're playing on the biggest stage in the regular season that there is. And so it's awesome to be a part of it. And I hope the league has a great non-conference, portion. I hope everybody, goes undefeated, because then it just improves the numbers. And like I said, it gets you a better chance to have those opportunities that you need.
All right, I asked this next question of your counterpart up in Oxford, and he gave me the most coach speaky answer I've ever gotten in my life. I'm hoping you won't do that, because it's a really simple question. Is it weird seeing John Calipari in red?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. I don't know. I don't think about it that often, to be honest with you. But I had a chance to talk to him, a few times on the road this summer, and It didn't, you know, it didn't do anything to me visually when I saw him. I didn't think too much about that, but yeah, my answer would be not really. You know, I haven't been in the league like you have. You've been following, you know, Kentucky and the SEC for a lot longer. So for
We
you,
got here, yeah.
it had been odd to see him wearing, you know, red instead of blue.
It is
But
very odd, Coach.
yeah,
Like,
for me, you know, I'm still a newbie, I guess.
I got about 2 minutes of "We focus on only ourselves" from Chris Beard. That I just like a yes or no would have sufficed there. It would have been fine. So I appreciate your answer. I think your answer was better there. I don't like to do player comps a lot. I feel like they're unfair to the players sometimes. But when you have a unique player, I would like to get your thoughts on it. Is there a comp in your mind for Cam Matthews? Because the skill set that he has and the fact that he's able to do so many things so well, he's unique, not only in college basketball, but I think of the NBA. I have a comp. I don't know how good it is. I think he's a less crazy Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, I was gonna maybe what went into my mind was Draymond Green,
Yeah.
less crazy,
Yeah. Again.
less technicals. Maybe not quite as skilled as Draymond, but you know, neither one of them is known for their prolific shooting. I don't think he rebounds like a Rodman. I wish he did. I'm on him right now about his lack of rebounding, to be honest with you, in practice anyway, and he's responded the way we need him to. But he's a unique player, you know, if you're really paying attention to us, like. As the year progressed last year, we had quite a big package for him as the lead guard. And, you know, if you'd have told anyone that around here that that would be the case 2 years ago, they'd have been like, you out of your mind. I mean, Cam Matthews ain't going to be running, you know, sets from the point guard spot. But as we've got to learn his game and he's developed his skills, you know, we like him out there like that. And I think it poses problems for the defense. But, you know, he's kind of got a point forward role at times for us. And I think you'll hopefully even see more of that, you know, heading into this year. So again, I never thought about it until just then you asked me that question. But, you know, that's to me more like that kind of player.
You got a lot of new faces from the transfer portal. Too many for us to just go through each and every one of them. So my question is this: of the guys, now that you're starting to see them in practice, you've seen them this offseason, who surprised you the most?
Good question.
That's two good questions. This is a good interview.
Now, listen, I'm not saying that the answer will be the person that, because I don't know. You know, the season unfolds like it does, that this person will have the huge impact or the biggest impact. He may or he may not. But in a positive way, Claudel Harris from Boston College has been a really nice surprise. But more in that when he got here, he was a little disinterested in the defensive side of the ball. He just didn't, his motor didn't run as hard as, you know, we'd like our guys is to run. And he made a conscious change. He basically jumped off the bridge, said, I'm all in. And now, if you'd watch his practice, that thought of his motor not running wouldn't enter your mind because he's flying around and he's bought into it and he's become a two-way player. He averaged 13.7 in the ACC last year. He was a big scorer for Georgia Southern. He's always been a scorer, you know, his whole life. And he's going to be able to score the ball for us too. But the cool thing is the surprise is how quickly and well he's adjusted to, you know, being a defensive person, having an identity with that, and knowing how important it is to us and in our opinion, to the game, it's been fun to see him transfer like that.
All right, we've kind of buried the lead on this interview. I'm not talking about Josh Hubbard to this point, but a legit All-American candidate, a guy who will be mentioned among the top players in college basketball this season, had a tremendous freshman year. What's the next level for Josh Hubbard this year? What does Act Two look like?
Yeah, I don't think, and again, I'm not sure how much he cares. In the big picture, I don't care that much, but I don't think he's getting the type of love or accolades that he deserves, to be honest with you, considering what he did last year as a true freshman in the SEC and the numbers that he put up. And he was by far, you know, our leader in a lot of categories, especially the scoring category. And I don't believe he's getting the national recognition that he deserves. And hopefully that'll just fuel the fire. Not that he needs any. He's such a hardworking kid and a focused kid. But, you know, he's gotten better. You know, Coach Don Walker, our strength coach, has done a tremendous job with all of our guys. But that's the first thing that sticks out is, I mean, he's a great athlete, obviously, but he's even a better athlete now than he was a year ago. And, you know, you can imagine a kid like that having all this experience now of going through a college season and knowing what lies ahead. You know, he's in the thing probably that I haven't spoke on is just his willingness to, you know, find his voice and use his voice and become a leader of this year's basketball team as a sophomore. He's been terrific that way. He's been leading our guys in practice. He's been helping our guys in practice. And, you know, a lot of guys want to do that, but they can't because they don't work hard enough and they don't do the right things all the time, that they have the respect from everybody else. But he has that because he is one of our hardest workers. And so I'm encouraging him behind the scenes to take over more of that type of role. And he's been awesome at it. So I can't say enough about that kid. And, you know, he's poised to have a heck of a sophomore campaign.
We'll wrap it up with this. You know, it's impossible to make, like, bracket predictions in September, right? Because it's so dependent on the matchups, and you just don't ever know who you're going to play. But you've coached second weekend teams before. When you look at your roster, the way that it's made up, your team, the players that you have, do you have the makeup of a second weekend team?
You'd ask me that in the summer before we got into these full-fledged practices. And just being honest with you, like every late September, early October, I don't think we're very good. You know, you watch practice and you break it down and you're like, oh my God, like we're not good at anything and we got so far to go. And I'm right in that space right now. Yeah. Like, I don't think we can beat anybody today. Like, I really don't. Now, if you'd asked me in June and July when, you know, we were hanging out and
we had the catfish tour, you were a little bit more positive. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Doing individuals and, you know, we got all these shiny new toys to work with. And we're
excited. That's your chance at that point.
Balls going through the basket, and, you know, we're not playing much defense or any of that matter. And I'd probably answer your question a little bit differently. But at the end of the day, we've got enough talent to be as good as we want to be, and we got a lot of work left to do. But all I'll say is I really like this basketball team. I like their energy. I like their vibe. You know, and I'm excited the fact that we've still got 25 practices before we have to play our first game. So I would say that this team has a higher ceiling, you know, than the other two teams that we've had, at least how we feel on September 30th.
Looking forward to another great basketball season with you, Coach. Looking forward to covering it this year. Coach Chris Jantz, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Hail State.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.